This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1384, The State of Stative Verbs. Don't get flagged as a lower level speaker. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. Are you worried that you might be making major mistakes that flag you as a lower level language learner? Today, we share a very common mistake with stative verbs that natives will notice. Listen today and then rest assured that you're not committing these errors again. This episode was recorded a few weeks in advance.
Our understanding of the COVID-19 situation has changed since then.
We hope you are healthy and safe.
And we hope that All Ears English can be a bright spot in your day during this moment of uncertainty.
All Ears English is sponsored by Indeed. If you're in charge of hiring at your company, you know that the key to making a great hire is having one easy place to go to find great candidates. That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on All Ears English. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Aubrey, how's it going today?
I am excellent, Lindsay. How are you?
Oh, so excited to have you on the show again for our grammar series, right? This is number, what is it, number four in our series?
Yes, it's the fourth one. This has been really fun. I'm enjoying them. I'm glad to be back.
Absolutely. So what are we getting into today? I mean, did you have any opening questions you wanted to ask me to kick off
the
episode?
You know, I usually do. I'm wondering, are you an observant person? This is something I don't know about you.
Wow, that's a really good question. You know what? Sometimes I can be a little spacey, to be honest, out in the world. But I do notice some details sometimes, but mostly I'm more of a big picture type person, to be honest. Yeah. What about you? I don't tend to notice the details. Yeah.
I am the least observant person. It's actually really a problem.
Really? And why do you think that is?
Well, it's like my husband, for example, will clean, like he'll clean or he'll build something. He'll like build shelves in the closet.
Yeah.
And then he'll sort of be waiting for me to be excited about it and thank him or something, and I won't even notice. Like a while that I won't notice. I don't know. I'm the same. I don't notice small details sometimes, and maybe I'm worried about the bigger picture. And then often, I don't know, I'm just not, like, I'm too in my mind. I have too much going on. Thinking about lots of things, and so I don't notice the small things or even big things, because I'm thinking about something else when I walk in the closet.
For sure. The area in which this stands out to me is noticing haircuts. I am really bad at to not notice when someone's gotten a haircut, which is bad. Most people want to you to notice that and they want you to say something, but I will miss it. I won't realize it until like 2 days later.
I'm the same. I don't notice haircuts either.
So we have that in common.
Exactly. So you guys will notice that we used the word notice here.
Yes.
And that is one of the things we're going to talk about. We're talking about stative verbs, and notice is a stative verb. Maybe you've never heard that word before. Maybe you have. They're verbs that are more about a mental state rather than an action.
Yes.
And this is so vital because it's possible, like, Are you not sure if you're making mistakes that are maybe flagging you as a lower level second language speaker? Like mm-hmm. you maybe you're a little bit worried about that. You have some fear that you're making mistakes you're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those. This is something that a lot of second language learners do and often don't even know about it. And your friends, your native speaker friends, probably won't correct you. Maybe it's a little awkward. So we are here to let you know, right?
Yeah, exactly, Aubrey. That's why I'm glad we're here today. I mean, guys, what does it mean to be flagged as a lower level native speaker? It doesn't mean that people will stop talking to you, but it means they may put up a little bit of a wall, right? And that's the last thing we want when it comes to connection and communication, right? So as Aubrey said, we want you to be fearless. And the way to do that is to slow down a little bit. Take a look today at this grammar, right? We know grammar can be sort of difficult sometimes, but we're going to make it easy and fun for you guys. Right, Aubrey?
Exactly, right? And this, it's just going to make you sound so much more native so that you can be fearless and know, you know you're speaking the same as your friends. You know, you're not making those glaring errors. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so this is one of them we want to talk to. We actually, in our previous grammar episode, 1364, you can come back to the blog for a link to that.
Yep.
We were talking about using the past progressive to hook your audience when telling a story. And that was the same kind of thing, right? Where if you're using that, it's pretty basic grammar. And if you're using it correctly, you sound like a native.
Exactly.
Which is so key. And you start feeling confident. You start feeling fearless. And that is what we want for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, you guys should go back and check out all of these episodes in the grammar series that Aubrey's doing with us. I mean, if you're in the iOS app, you can easily just type in 1364 in the search bar at the top. It's super easy. And Aubrey, by the way, before we get into this, where's the podcast that you end up spending most of your time, most days? Where are you podcasting?
Yes, I record with Jessica over on the IELTS energy side of things. So if you're studying for IELTS, especially the exam, and you're not subscribed yet, you need to subscribe to IELTS Energy. It is such a fun podcast. Jessica's the best. And she was an examiner for 14 years, so she knows her stuff. She has given me all of her inside info, insider knowledge. And yeah, we give so much good information about the test, what you should be doing to study, help make sure that you're not wasting any time so that you can get the score you need and get past IELTS.
Yes, I love it. So guys, go and search for IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English and hit subscribe. If you're taking IELTS really anytime in the next year and a half, I would say it's never too early to start listening in to get ready. Okay, cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So today's our next grammar installment.
Yes.
And like we told you guys, we're going to talk about how to use stative verbs correctly in conversation to sound like a native.
Okay. Let's take it away. All right. Yes, tell us about it, Aubrey.
Break it down, right? Because this, it might sound a little intimidating, stative verbs. That's a little bit of a foreign word, right? Mm-hmm. Even natives, if you say, oh, I'm using my stative verbs really correctly, they will probably have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, definitely. They'll not, they will not know, but they will hear it when you make the mistakes. Yes. That's the key, right?
Exactly, right? So this is when we're talking about our feelings and emotions, what we like, what we dislike. Mm-hmm. It's describing your mental state or condition, not physical actions.
Okay.
So for example, right? If you want to talk about what kind of cookies you like, you would say, I like chocolate chip cookies. Mm. Simple present tense. You would never say, I am liking chocolate chip cookies in present continuous, right? Because it's a state of being.
Yes.
It's not an action that has any time, that isn't like continued time.
Yeah.
So it sounds very odd to a native speaker if you use present continuous with these stative verbs.
Exactly. And guys, today we want you to learn these rules and really just understand these broad rules. I can think of exceptions, you know what I mean? I can think of when people might say, oh, I'm just loving these chocolate chip cookies, right? So natives might say something like that. Have you ever heard that, Aubrey?
Oh, for
just
sure.
As an exception, right? In a very colloquial way, right?
Yes. And if you think about it, it's sort of making it an action. If you say, I am loving these chocolate, you're saying like, I'm having this action right now of loving these cookies so much in this moment. There's a little bit of time continued there. And so they're changing this state of verb to make it an action. Right?
That's a good point. So it's no longer at that point a state of verb. So it's no longer about a mind state or a state. It's about an action. I love that. Yeah. That's a
Any
good
of these
rule
verbs,
of thumb.
Yeah, most of these can be an action depending on how you use them. But if you're talking about a state of being or a mental state, then it's a state of verb.
I like it. Okay, what else? What else?
Okay, so first we want to talk about why it's important to use them correctly, right? Mm-hmm. If you use them incorrectly, not only does it sound wrong to natives, the tricky thing is, like you were saying, right? They might sort of take you less seriously at work or, discount what you're saying if it's just in a regular conversation. So this is really vital. It's really vital, something that's really important to get right. Yeah. When my kids, sometimes they'll say something like, I'm boring, when they mean like, I'm bored. And this isn't the exact same kind of error, but you can see where if you made an error like that, someone might say, oh, you know, they might flag you as making glaring errors for a second language speaker, right?
I kind of feel like these are the really bad errors. These are the ones that, like we said before, they do mark you, they do flag you, but you wouldn't know it, right? You wouldn't know it until maybe that business deal doesn't come through or the person, I don't know, guys, it could be a number of things. So that's why it's important to focus in on this today.
Yes. Okay. So as far as the grammar structure, the main thing to remember is we don't use stative verbs in the present progressive or present continuous tense.
Okay.
It's called present continuous because it's an action that continues. That's continuous, right? And for stative verbs, there's no continuous action. Mm-hmm. So instead, we use the present simple tense, even if it's happening right now, because it's just describing a general truth, something that is true past, present, and it's not so much a current action happening right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So how about some examples? Let's dive into some examples so our listeners can really grab onto this, Aubrey.
Okay, so we're going to share three main categories of stative verbs. And the first one, we're going to give you several examples. The first category is thoughts and opinions. So, Lindsay, what's a word that would share your thoughts that's a stative verb?
Okay, I like the word believe, right? I believe certain things, your beliefs. I like that one. Or agree, doubt, guess. What else, Aubrey?
Definitely remember, right? You would say, oh, I remember your name. Mm-hmm. You would not say, I am remembering your name.
Right? Yeah, you would never say that. It's just weird. It sounds awkward.
sounds really strange. For sure. And like you said, many of these can be used as actions. I am agreeing with you instead of I agree with you, because you're making it more of an action with time involved.
Right.
If you I am thinking that. About that right now instead of I think this.
Right.
If you're making it an action with time. Right.
But it really does change the meaning, doesn't it? So we have to keep that in mind. That as you're changing that grammar form, you're moving away from the stative verb and you're moving to the progressive. You're totally changing kind of what you're saying.
Right. You're making it an action. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey guys, we are building a business English course at All Ears English based on insight from more than 100 native English speaking business professionals. Keep your eyes and ears open for announcements coming soon to find out how you can get in early.
Hey scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with Millicue Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
All right, our second group, feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, some of the ones I said, like, dislike, feel. What others, Lindsay?
Yeah, so love, want, wish, hate, or prefer. Okay, these are all ways of talking about how you feel about something, your emotions. I love it.
Exactly. So, Lindsay, do you prefer fish or chicken?
Personally, I prefer fish most of the time, like salmon, a good salmon, maybe some sushi. What about you, Aubrey?
Yeah, me too. I definitely prefer fish. Mahi-mahi, salmon. I love fish tacos. Nice. Oh my gosh.
Is it easy to get good sushi where you guys are?
There are places that get, fish shipped in that day to Phoenix. Yeah. So you can get fish, but it's kind of expensive compared to other places. Definitely.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
But you'll notice that Lindsay didn't say, or I didn't say, are you preferring fish or chicken? No, you would say, do you prefer? Because it's a stative verb.
Mm-hmm. And it also doesn't change, right? That's the other piece of this. It's stative because it is a state that's generally consistent and constant, right? Mostly throughout your life, I would imagine. Or maybe when you're a child, you prefer chicken, and then you're an adult, you prefer fish, but it's not going to change on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. Yep. Good point. Okay, what about the third one, Lindsay? We have a third category to share.
All right, so this idea of possession and measurement. What do we mean by that, Aubrey? That sounds a little strange.
Yeah, so anything you own, this is actually interesting because I asked someone recently to talk about something they owned when I was doing a personal coach class for IELTS. Mm-hmm. We were doing like a mock speaking test.
Okay.
And they started talking about their education, that they had worked really hard for their education, uh-huh. and they were so proud of it, and it was their favorite possession. And I said, I don't know if this is a cultural thing, but in English, we don't say that we, you know, possess or own our education. We can say we've earned that. But something to be a possession or something we own is like something we bought, something someone gave us, and it's tangible, and we can say that we own it.
Oh, that's
right. It's
that's
tricky.
Fascinating though, because this could be cultural. You know, the way that grammar is created is definitely cultural. And maybe in certain countries, it's more of a possession, more of a commodity, having that degree. I mean, you can certainly own your degree, your physical degree, right? The piece of paper, but you don't really possess. I mean, I guess,
if someone says, what's a possession? What's something you own that you love? It would be odd in English to talk about your education because they're talking about something you've purchased or bought or something someone's given you that, you know, maybe a TV or a car or...
right. An item, not something you've worked towards.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. So this, again, it's a state of verb. If I ask you, does this belong to you? I would not say, is this belonging to you? No. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you own this? We would not say, are you owning this? Right. Because they are stative verbs if they're indicating possession.
Right.
Or also measurement. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not going to change. Right. Most of the time when you own something, you always own it. I mean, you could give it away. You could sell it. But the idea is it's for the long term. It's not going to change. So we don't really use that in that progressive form because we're not talking about things that are changing. Yes.
Exactly. Even then you'd still say, do you still own that car you used to have? You know, you would never say, are you still owning that?
Like, yes.
We always use a stative verb there. Definitely.
Love that. So do we have a role play for our listeners to really kind of grab onto this a bit?
Yes. I'm excited about this one.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
I am going to pretend that I am your psychologist and you have come in to me to discuss your feelings. And this, I've been thinking about this. I wonder about anyone who's meeting regularly with a therapist who can't now because of stay-at-home orders.
Yes.
That's got to be so tricky when you really rely on that. I hope they're able to do it over Zoom.
I hope so too.
Right.
Yeah,
something
it's so
virtually.
Important.
Definitely. Mm. It's so important. So today I will be your virtual psychologist.
Good. I'm ready. I didn't know I was going to get a psychology session today, a therapy session, but it looks like I will. All right, let's do it.
So this is perfect because it gives us a chance to talk about your state of being and how you feel, a lot of things that you would use state of verbs to talk about, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Lindsay, tell me, how are you feeling today?
Oh, well, Aubrey, to be honest, I feel a little nervous that my puppy is going to start barking in the middle of this recording.
That was Jessica. Sometimes we'll be recording IELTS energy and her dogs will bark. So we'll try to edit it. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
It happens. This is life. We record from home, guys. And this is just what happens. But that's how I feel.
And you'll notice she didn't say, I'm feeling. You know, we just say, I feel that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you like your job?
Oh, my gosh. I like my job. I love my job. Absolutely. I absolutely like my job. I mean, some aspects of my job I don't like or love, like doing numbers, right? Projections, things like that. But most of my job I really like. Yeah.
The things that are a necessary evil. You could pass up.
Yeah, necessary. That's a bonus phrase for our listeners today, Aubrey. Necessary evil. What does that mean?
I use that one a lot. It's like something you have to do that you don't love. You might even hate it, but it's necessary, right? You say that's a necessary evil.
Exactly. All right.
Okay, another question for you.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to change about your life?
Oh my gosh. Is there anything I want to change? I want to make sure I get outside more in the summertime because these days I've been a little cooped up. So I want to get more active and just get out in the sunshine. That's what I want to change. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. And what about, this is a little deeper. How do you measure success?
I measure success by how quickly I can get back up after I've had a failure. That's how I measure success. Being able to bounce back is how I measure it. How do you measure it? I'm curious. Now we're flipping the tables here in therapy.
Right? Oh, you've caught me off guard. I haven't had a chance to think about it. I really like your answer. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like regardless of what happens, win or fail, if you can bounce back quickly and move on to the next thing, that is a great way to measure success.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yes.
All right. I have one more question for you.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm ready.
Do you prefer writing about your feelings or talking about them with a close friend?
Oh, I definitely prefer talking about them. I'm a verbal person. I have to talk out what I'm thinking to have clarity, which can be hard when friends are more, you know, some of my friends are a little bit more internal, right? And they want to process things internally and I want to process things externally. So I prefer to talk through things. Yeah.
That's why you hired me as your psychologist.
Exactly.
Because you need to talk through your feelings.
This is money well spent.
Yes. All right. I really liked that role play. I feel like I learned some things about you.
Absolutely. And we have some great state of verb. So throughout that role play, I did keep using that state of verb because why? Because things weren't going to change, right? This is,
It's the things you like, the things you want, how you measure something. Yeah. That's your state of being, the way you feel. It's not going to change. It would be very awkward for you to say, I am wanting to change this about my life, or I am measuring. So we just don't talk like that. Natives just don't talk that way. When you use a state of verb, we're really, this is one thing where, you know, we're pretty strict about always using state of verbs in the present simple tense.
Exactly. And it's interesting, again, as we said before, natives won't be able to teach you about this because they may not know the rule, but they know it internally and intuitively. So if you do make this mistake, guys, like we said, you know, we just want you to be able to connect with native speakers, right? What's the takeaway today, Aubrey, for our listeners?
We just want you guys to be able to sound like a native. And when you are speaking to native speakers, we want you to be fearless. You know, we really want you to feel fluent and fearless. And this episode about state of verbs is one of the big ones. This is something we hear second language learners. This is a mistake we hear them make a lot. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say my friends for second, I've never corrected one of them because I want to be connecting. I want to be just, you know, I'm all about the connection. And so I'm not going to interrupt a conversation to correct someone. So this is the venue where you guys can learn about that. So you can avoid making those common errors. And then you won't be flagged. You know, you won't, this isn't something that will hold you back.
Exactly, Aubrey. I mean, guys, don't let people put up a wall between you and the other person. And this is something that could cause that to happen. So go back into this episode again, take notes on what you've learned today, and then try the therapy session on your own, right? Yes. Try answering those questions, and then you will be ready when you're in that moment of conversation. I love it. I love it.
That's
I love
a good
it.
Idea.
So Aubrey, one more time, where can our listeners go to check out more of your work on IELTS?
Yes, find the IELTS Energy Podcast. You can subscribe. We release 3 episodes every week. Check them out. They're all really excellent. Lots of good vocabulary, lots of good grammar, and a lot of good tips for the IELTS exam.
All right, great stuff. We'll see you over there, and we'll see you back on here very soon for your next episode in the grammar series.
Yes. Thanks, Aubrey. Right. Thank you. See you later.
Right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.